Please join me for our reading of Scripture. Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 8, and chapter 20, verse 19. Please follow along with your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 8, and chapter 20, verse 19. Hear the word of the Lord. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. One who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, being a former high school teacher, I was frequently exposed to all kinds of gossip and rumors. Students hear things and see things, and then they talk about what they heard and saw with everyone around them. Hey, Mr. Menon, did you hear about what Jimmy did last night at the party? Hey, Mr. Menon, you will never guess what Charlene said to Mr. Sanchez in front of the whole class. And when these things are brought up, the natural tendency is to then ask, what happened? And we think that, oh, those are just high schoolers and they're just immature teenagers. Of course they will gossip about others. But adults definitely know better than to gossip about others. However, just open up any social media platform and you will see hundreds of adults sharing gossip about something or someone. Walk into the lunchroom of an office and there'll be some gossip going around about the owner, the boss, or some other coworker. And because people are talking, you never really know what is true or not. And even if what is being said is actually true, because it is being talked about in such a negative way, our view of the person who is being talked about can change based on what is being said. Whether we like to admit it or not, we have a fascination with gossip. That's why talk shows, tabloids, and social media posts are so popular, because people like to tell and discuss other people's stories, especially when the person they're talking about isn't around. And gossip is often misunderstood. It is something that people know is wrong and that they shouldn't do, but yet still participate in it all the time. Even people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus can gossip and can even do it in church. And because gossip is so normalized and seen as a part of our everyday conversations, it happens quite frequently, and it's something we have all likely done. And when we hear gossip, we then start to create our own narratives of the person as we start to guess what happened, why it happened, and who was involved. Then we can even go as far as sharing it with others around us. Hey, did you hear that they are having trouble in their marriage? I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, she really has let herself go. You know, he is really having a hard time making ends meet. Must be all that money going to his scratch tickets. Or in church, when we hear gossip, we spiritualize it, saying, you know, I just wanted you to know X, Y, and Z about that person, you know, so that you can seek the Lord and pray for them. See, gossip is subtle and it creeps into our conversations when we are not aware. But we need to know that gossip is a serious sin that destroys people and our relationships with them. And we need to know how to identify and then stop gossip in our own conversations. But yet Christians are just as guilty in spreading gossip as their non-Christian counterparts. Speaking about non-believers, Paul, a follower of Jesus that we read about in the New Testament of the Bible, talks about people who were far from God and how they became so engrossed in their sin that God gave them over to a depraved mind, meaning he let them continue in their sin and immorality because that was what they wanted. And this is what happens when the depraved mind takes over. Paul says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Notice that all those sins listed there by Paul are relational sins, meaning sins that happen between people. And because a majority of the culture doesn't have God in their life, the culture that we live in reflects these very sins, which contributes to the continual moral decline of the culture. So even followers of Jesus who are living in this kind of culture have to be aware of these sins, because if not, they will just continue to live and emulate the culture that they're in. And so followers of Jesus have to decide, are their lives going to reflect that of the culture or reflect that of Jesus? Paul puts people who gossip in the same category as those who murder, those who are arrogant, those who have no fidelity, and those who even hate God. And such people are deserving of death because they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. But such people love those who do the exact same things as them. And Paul is saying that unbelievers will partake in such sins because they rebel against God and reject his ways, so they don't care how their actions destroy others. But Paul is also saying that when believers partake in the same sins, these same sins, they in reality are living like non-believers. See, we may never think about killing someone, when in reality, whenever we gossip, we are actually assassinating that person's character. People do this in order to get even, to bring others down because they are envious, or to make themselves look better. Gossip is seen as evil by God because it damages families, it damages communities, it damages people, and it damages relationships and reputations. Churches split because of gossip, and misunderstandings and fights happen because of gossip. And a person who gossips really has a negative spirit because they are bent on hurting rather than helping. That is why gossip is so deceptive, because people can even think that they're doing good by sharing information and chatting away with others, or saying, hey, let's pray for that person. But what is really happening is they are getting pleasure from the negative news. Such people who do this are known as busybodies, because they get involved in drama and in the affairs of others by intruding into conversations and even places where they don't even belong. Many times, people get involved in conversations saying that they want to help, but often the help is not wanted or even is uninvited. Such busybodies are often people who crave drama and want to hear about the drama in other people's lives. Especially in church, gossip is usually camouflaged as a prayer request or is hidden behind asking someone for advice about somebody else. That is why gossip is so dangerous, because it is quickly told, it is quickly heard, it is quickly spread, and the worst is that it is quickly believed by all who hear it. You know, in the last part of our sermon series called Better Relationships, practical ways to better relate with those around us. And over these past 7 weeks, we have been looking at and learning how, with God's help, we can bring health and honesty into the relationships that we have. And we need to talk about the landmines in our relationships and how to deal with them, because how we handle such things will affect us personally, will affect our relationships, and will affect us as a church. So let's define what gossip is. Gossip is casual or unconstrained talking or rumors about the personal affairs of others behind their backs. Webster's Dictionary defines gossip as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts, or as a rumor or report of an intimate nature. It is sharing information, factual or not, which damages another person's reputation with those who have no need to know. And because such information is shared, it now can distort the views of the ones hearing it. And gossip will always be presented as the truth because the other person being talked about is not there to defend themselves. And if the one who is sharing the information knows that what is being shared is not completely true, or when their motive for sharing it is to damage the other person, it moves from gossip to slander. Slander means to speak evil of someone or to badmouth them with the motive to damage the person. People who engage in this behavior are also called backbiters, meaning when you are not looking, they bite you by spreading negative information about you in order to make you look bad without giving you a chance to defend yourself. And scripture takes it a step further, not just talking about the act of gossiping and the dangers of it, but it ties gossip to the revealing of the character of the person participating in the act. So people who dish out gossip or partake in relishing in the gossip heard just reveals their inner character and their heart condition. Jesus addresses the root of why people do this when he told a crowd listening, saying, "What you say flows from what is in your heart." Jesus reminds us that what we say reveals what we have been hiding in our hearts all along. What we say reveals what we actually believe, think, what our attitude is, and even what motivates us to do the things that we do. But we will argue and justify that we said certain things because of the situation that we encountered, like he got on my nerves or that they got me angry, and so that is why I said what I said. But Jesus is saying that the conflict or argument just merely revealed what was already hidden in there, because what is really in your heart will come out in your speech and in your behavior. Our words are like the stench or smell of what has been lingering in our hearts. And so when there is a conflict with other people, or we don't get what we want, that evilness in our heart all comes out in our speech. That is why if we have a heart that is critical, well then it's going to produce critical speech. If we have a heart that is self-righteous, then it's going to produce judgmental speech. A heart that is unforgiving will produce hurtful speech. A heart that is ungrateful will produce demanding and complaining speech. And a heart that frequently compares, is discontent, and envious of others will produce gossip from our speech, and be okay to listen to gossip when it is presented to us. And many people think that they are spiritually healthy because they have knowledge about God or the Bible, or they have attended church for years. They may have even had theological training or even serve God, but those are not indications of spiritual health. However, a big indication of someone's spiritual health is looking at how they speak about others. That is why gossip reveals what is really going on in our hearts. Scripture says that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Gossip is providing little nuggets of information about someone. Hey, did you hear about that person? And if that other person has heard, then what do? You swap these fascinating stories with each other, like eating tasty morsels that you enjoy and savor. It's like that dessert that you just love so much. You can't just have one bite. Hot apple pie with ice cream and whipped cream on top. Red velvet brownies, creme brulee, mint chocolate chip ice cream. I mean, by tasting one, you just want more. And that is gossip, right? We just can't get enough of it. And these nuggets of information that people share with us or that we share with others go into our innermost parts, and then they take root in our heart, our soul, and our mind like a cancer. This information now forms into assumptions or speculations about the person that we heard about, and then now influences how we think about that person. Then that speculation gets shared with others, and soon enough, everyone is eating those morsels about the person. In some translations of this verse, it describes people who gossip as whisperers, because they smile at you when you are around, but they actually talk about you behind your back. Have you ever been in a situation where others are talking negatively about someone else, and when that person comes into the room, the talking all of a sudden stops? And then when that person leaves, they continue to whisper all the poison about the other person to each other. So how do you handle gossip when it shows up or when someone wants to share information with you? God gives us His word so we can discern what is right and what is wrong when it comes to the situation that we face. So when God says slandering others makes you a fool, this makes us aware that we don't want to be a fool by spreading information to others, but it makes us also recognize that if others are trying to gossip to us or speak ill of someone else, then they are in reality fools and are someone who we cannot trust. And this is so true, isn't it? I knew a former coworker who would frequently complain and talk about everyone at the workplace. So-and-so is so incompetent. So-and-so is having a fling with that person. So-and-so, I smile at them, but I really don't like them. But the reality is that if they easily gossip and drop tidbits of information about everyone else, then they were also probably doing that about me when I wasn't around. So people that talk bad about others will likely talk bad about you, and such people are known as fools and they cannot be trusted. So when someone does this to you, there is the tendency to want to listen further, but Scripture says one who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. This helps us to discern in our relationships. Who are the people I can and be close with? And who are the people who are fools that I need to keep my distance from or even remove from my life? And if I can't remove myself from such people, then I need to be cautious of what I say to them or what I listen to from them. We have to be careful of such people because we will one day be the topic of that person's slander. So the proverb is saying, if this is the filter that you navigate your relationships with, and if this is the filter to identify gossip, then stay far from it. Don't even get a taste. But here is also what you can say to the person who is gossiping. You know, I like to always think the best of people and give them the benefit of the doubt. So if this is serious, I will follow up on this and ask them about it. And I will share that you brought this up to my attention. If the person who told you the information backtracks, gets nervous, and insists that you don't do what you said you were going to do, then you know that what was shared is nothing important, and that person knows not to share anything else with you because their stories will be verified. In fact, one of the most common ways that people in the church spread gossip is when someone says to the leadership, people are saying, oh, I've heard. Whenever situations like this happen, we usually say to the person, please tell us who the people are who are saying these things so we can personally follow up with them. We always want to deal quickly with any concerns or conflicts with the person and limit hearsay and gossip. This is done because a lot of times when someone says, people are saying, The reality is that people aren't really telling them something, but rather the person has an agenda or a motive, and so they cowardly hide behind a group in order to speak their preference, which they expect everybody else to abide by. Or people will say, hey, does this person really believe such and such? And I usually respond, you know, I don't know, but if you would like to come with me, we can go talk to that person right now and find out from them. Remember, gossip destroys relationships, destroys trust, and it can even destroy the church. And if we're not careful, we can easily get pulled into gossip or even spread it. And these are simple, healthy things that people can do so that people are not eating each other up with speculations and hearsay, but it creates a culture of believing the best and choosing to trust instead of just listening to whatever whispers are going around. You know, I used to work with a woman who would frequently say to me, people are saying, but I soon realized that that was a phrase that she would use to convey information that she believed and wanted, but she didn't want to say that it was what she believed and wanted or put her name on it. And of course, someone like that always has an agenda, especially if your direction is not the direction that she wants. She was very manipulative. She would undermine frequently. And she was someone that I never trusted. See, people take gossip very lightly and think that it's no big deal, but it's actually a very big deal to God. He says, whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. In some translations, I will put to silence means that God will destroy those who slander others. Why? Well, because gossip is dangerous. And God is saying that I'm not going to tolerate or put up with such people who do such things. Now, is God saying that we can never give a negative report about a person to someone else, especially if it's in the other person's best interests? No, he's not saying that, because the reality is that there are going to be people out there that we deal with on a regular basis that are dangerous, that do lie, that are irresponsible, they are deceitful, and they are unsafe. And so we have to let others know so that they can discern for themselves and make the necessary decisions when dealing with such people with the information provided. But as followers of Jesus, we have to make sure that what we are saying is accurate and is not our own personal bias, opinions, or even misjudgment about the person, because that is actually gossip. For example, if someone has asked you for money and made a promise to pay it back, but they never did and refused to do so, if you know that that person is going around asking others for money, you can actually warn those people to be careful in their interactions with this particular person. Ultimately, it's up to that person that you're telling to test that information for themselves, but you are letting the other person know to keep their guard up because you want to look out for their best interests. In instances like that, it is not gossip, but warnings, because you are protecting others from people that can do harm. Ultimately, all of this is a fine line, because there is information that is shared, but if that information is not actually accurate because you just don't like the person for whatever reason, then what happens is that you are actually spreading gossip about that person and their behavior. Ultimately, all of this is a fine line, because there is information that is shared, but if that information is not actually accurate because you just don't like the person for whatever reason, then what happens is you are actually spreading gossip about that person and their behavior. That is why, as followers of Jesus, you need to discern in prayer about what you are sharing and the motive behind your sharing. However, excluding the previously mentioned situations, If you find yourself frequently gossiping about others, then the invitation is to ask God to examine what is going on in your own heart. Here are some diagnostic questions that you can ask. God, why do I find myself sharing information about others to others? Who am I trying to please? What is my motive behind whenever I do this? Am I bitter or envious of the person? Where is my pride in this, and am I trying to gain status for myself? Is there a selfish agenda I'm trying to advance? Where and who did I learn to do this from? Whatever I'm saying, am I willing to say this in front of the person? And then your prayer to God is this: set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. These psalms are saying, God, let me be always mindful of what I say and the consequences of what I say. Let me check at the door everything that I say and to filter it as I decide what's going to honor you and what's not going to honor you. God, help me to guard my mouth from gossip and slander. Redeem my corrupt heart and let my words always be pleasing to you. And God, protect me. Protect me from being a fool and protect me from becoming someone that is untrustworthy with my lips. Now, also know that gossip frequently starts when there is a conflict between two people. And this is especially true in church. Speaking about dealing with conflict in the church, Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So if there is a problem or a conflict that we have with someone, Jesus is saying that we are to go to that person to sort it out. We said last week that if we know that there's a conflict or if we sense that there's a conflict, it is always our move first to iron out the conflict with the hope of reconciliation. But instead, what followers of Jesus can do is actually do the opposite. We turn away in hatred and resentment. We seek revenge and we engage in gossip. So instead of person A talking to person B who has offended or hurt them, person A ends up talking to person C, D, E, F, G, H about person B. So everyone else knows while person B has no idea about what is going on. That's gossip. And the conflict has now spread to others. So now person C, D, E, F, G, and H all don't like person B and nothing is resolved. But Jesus is saying, person A, if you are a believer, then solve it in private with person B, who is also a believer. And no one else even needs to know about it. And a majority of conflicts that I have to walk people through are conflicts between person A and person B, because person A doesn't deal with person B, but likes to deal and tell everyone else. But do you know what is very awkward? It is when person A does sort out the conflict with person B, but then person A realizes that they have been slandering B to others all this while. And now they have to go and apologize and clean up the mess because they let the conflict go loose. But now person B is angry because person A was talking to everyone around them. And those people now know the details when it could have been sorted out between the two of them initially. And people who gossip will make excuses saying, you know, I just wanted to have someone pray for me before I go and talk to that person. And sure, That sounds holy, but the reality is that unless you keep the name of the person you have conflict with confidential, you are actually sharing gossip with that person through a prayer request. Scripture is clear to go and lovingly tell that person, just between you and them. No need to tell anybody else. Just go to that person and do it in love, as difficult as that may be. We talked about this last week, how as followers of Jesus, it is always I'll move first. Jesus continues, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, this doesn't mean that you go share gossip with your friends and then get them to come with you as you now build a case against the person that has offended you. But it's getting two or three witnesses to the sin or to the event. So it's approaching others who are aware of what happened or witness what happened, and then going with them to confront the person for repentance. However, if there are no witnesses and the conflict is between two people and there is no resolution, then it is setting up a meeting with the church leadership. Jesus says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. But if that person doesn't want to listen, then it's coming to the church leadership to have us come alongside you. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to know every single detail of every single conflict that you have, because conflict is inevitable and it's going to happen. The reason why Jesus instructs us to resolve conflict quickly is so that it doesn't stew and become gossip. Also know that there are cases in which a person may have fears or difficulties facing conflict, and coming to church leadership can be helpful and encouraging. And we will always encourage you and give you those next steps so that you can lovingly confront the person that you have a conflict with before it gets worse. If that is you, know that you are always welcome to set up a time with me. And ultimately, after all of this is done, if the person who you have a conflict with still refuses to listen to you and even the church leadership, then Jesus instructs that boundaries be drawn with that person as a way to protect the greater community, making it a safe environment to learn, grow, and worship for everyone else. So questions for us to think about. Number one, what happens if a fellow congregation member comes up to you with gossip or about a conflict that they have with someone else? Know that there are always two sides to every story, even in conflict. You may hear the person out, but try to avoid immediately taking sides, making judgments, or coming to any conclusions until you have heard the full story. Many times people only tell one part of the story, only tell you what they may want you to hear or know about. It can also be easy to now villainize people and assume the worst of the other person, especially when we don't hear the full story from them. So if someone has a conflict with someone else, please encourage the person to sort out the conflict with the other person as soon as possible. And this is something you can say to them. Hey, thanks for sharing this. Have you let that other person know how you feel or how they have hurt you or what they have done? Are you able to do that, and when can you do that? Then it is following up with that person over the next week to see if they were able to connect with the person and see how it went. If they do not want to have this discussion alone to deal with the conflict and want you to go with them, we advise that you hear from the other person that they have a conflict with so as not to blindside the other person by having now two people or a group of people now coming to talk with them. This also safeguards you from putting you in a predicament of now backtracking in case the initial person didn't tell you the whole story. If they have let that person know and things are still not resolved, you can offer to be the mediator or You can let the church leadership know so that we can be the in-between to talk with that person. In this case, we would want to be able to hear the other side of the story from the other person first, and then set up a time for all to meet. If the person talking to you is unwilling to sort out the conflict with the other person, it is an unfair burden that is now on you without them taking responsibility for resolving the conflict. It is letting them know that it is an unfair burden for you to carry, especially if they're not taking steps to resolve it. Let the church leadership know so that person can be talked with immediately and can prevent further gossiping of the one they have conflict with. Number two, what if a person has a conflict with the church, with Pastor Edwin, with Kelsey, or with other church leaders? Well, it is guiding them through the same steps. Encourage them to talk to us as soon as possible. If they're not willing or comfortable to talk with us, then you can let them know that the staff will be informed about their concerns so that the staff can then take the next steps to reach out to them. If they want to talk about it, but want you to be there with them, that is great. But please do let us know beforehand what the issue is so we are not blindsided. It is never taking sides, but having an objective view so that ultimately the conflict gets resolved well. We give you permission to check any story that you hear with us, because there are always two sides to every story. We want to create a healthy church environment, which means being aware of what gossip is and encouraging people to deal with their conflicts with the person that they have a conflict with before it turns into gossip. Remember, gossip destroys relationships, destroys trust, and it can even destroy the church. And if we're not careful, we can easily get pulled into gossip or even spread it. See, the local church is the hope of the world, which means that if we are not careful to follow the ways of Jesus, especially in our relationships, we will end up emulating the culture's behavior. And what will we do? We'll bring all that into the church, and it will affect everything that God is trying to do in, through, and around us. So may we spend time following Jesus. May we serve others well and love them. And may we not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let us be people who speak the truth in love at all times and choose to use the best kinds of words whenever we relate with those around us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, set a guard over our mouth. Keep watch over the door of our lips. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock, our redeemer, you are the only one that can help us to do this. And so you strengthen us, and may we not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but to use our words to build, to love, to encourage, and to point others towards your ways. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love, hope, mercy, grace, and forgiveness for your sins? Well, know that God loves you so much that He came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then He chose to die for your sins and mine so that whoever would believe in Him would have forgiveness and new life in Him. And not only did He die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins so that I can be forgiven. I turn from my sins and I ask you to teach me what it means to do life your way. I don't want to do life my way anymore. So fill me with your Spirit, transform me, and make me into the kind of person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better, follow up with you, and even give you some resources so you can grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.